All right, I want to greet you all this morning in Jesus' precious name. Blessing to be here with you all again this morning. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we come before you. We thank you for your goodness, your mercy. Again, we thank you for all that you do for us. Help us to be faithful to you and bring glory to you. Lord, we ask that you'd fill us with your Spirit. You give us wisdom and understanding, Father. Help us apply that to our hearts and minds, our lives, Father. Again, we just thank you for all you do for us. Give us the words we need. Again, we just thank you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right. Let's open our Bibles to Ephesians. Chapter 5. There's lots of verses we can go to, but I want to just kind of just have a very basic message this morning, foundational. About God's order, God's plan. Sometimes we get caught up in the world and we kind of forget that God has an order, but he does. He set these things in motion whenever he created the world. This is how it began, and it is very foundational. And anytime we try to build on anything other than God's foundation, we're laboring in vain. I think we'll just begin in verse 22. Well, start in verse 1. We'll just read verse 1. It says, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children." This is the foundation here of these verses. Therefore, be imitators of God. That is what we're called to do, to be imitators of God. We see people that are religious. And I think a lot of times their religion is an expression of who they think God is. A lot of times that's where, why we see things and see people get so caught up in religion and so ugly towards everybody. They're portraying an image of their God. That's what the world sees, and that's what we don't want. We want to be a reflection of the true image of God. And so it says, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children. There is kind of the heart, doesn't say some of the words we're looking for or we think about, but that's a picture of a father. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. That's showing God as our Father. And then in verse 22, let's skip over here and some little more practical things. It says, "Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ also is the head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church, and he gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having been cleansed having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she would be holy and blameless. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. Then I want to read over to chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in discipline and instruction in the Lord. What I want to talk about this morning is basically fathers. The world has lodged a full-on attack. And it's always been there, but there is a open and hostile attack on a man being a father, being the head of his own home. Not only that, but just in general, a man just being a man is probably one of the most despised things there are in the world today. Just a man being a man. It's ridiculed, it's stereotyped, and it's despised by the world, and for good reason. That's the way God wanted it, and so the world hates it. I just want to encourage you, fathers, to be a father. First of all, be a man. Whenever we think about being a man, you know, and being what God wants us to be, we have to weigh that out with what's all around us and what the way it's portrayed. You know, being a father is nothing very glamorous at all. It's a little like being a leader. Some people think, you know, they look at a leader and think, wow, he's just doesn't have any problems. He's up there leading and making decisions. And in reality, there's nothing very pretty about it. You know, being a leader or being a father, it's just a duty. It's a responsibility. It's nothing like what we have portrayed in our minds of what it is. It's just what it is. Throughout, you know, we see examples of fathers in the Bible. We've heard a lot about it, but when it comes right down to it, being one is a little different than just hearing about it or seeing. Being one takes courage and it takes strength. You know, it's hard for fathers to make decisions that the family doesn't like. You know, it's, and I think that's where this order comes in, that no matter what the family likes or wants, it's the father's responsibility to make those decisions. We've talked about this wives, be subject to your own husbands. You know, there again, we have this characteristic, or we have this thought of submission, and you have this mean man just controlling everything. And there's people that do that. I'm the father, and you're going to do what I like, whether you like it or not. And they just are really nothing but bullies. But if we You know, and if that's what our image of God is, that God is just bossing us around or forcing us to do something and just putting pressure on us to make us, then that's the image we portray, that's the image we live out. And that's the reflection of what we see as God. The, you know, going back here, being imitators as beloved children. People imitate who they think God is. And if he's strong and firm and just right there, well, that's the way I'm going to be. And that's the way people are. But if we see him as beloved children and seeing who he really is, and we see that God's not a bully. There's a lot of people think he is. That he's just up there making decisions and forcing everybody to do this, or telling if you don't obey me, I'm going to throw you in hell, and that's just all there is to it. But that's not who he is. God's given us a will. And he shows us the way. And Jesus came into the world and showed us how a man submits to a father. And that's where, like I said, this submission, this wives be subject to your own husbands. It's not because maybe you are smarter than he is. I don't know. Maybe he does some dumb things that you don't like. Maybe he doesn't do everything you want him to do. But that's not what, I mean, we can all find things like that. But that's not the issue. It's having two, and they work as one. There has to be someone who says, it's not what I want in this deal. It's, I'm submitting to my authority in my head. You know, I don't know how many people, you know, that have that appearance, you know, the of submission, but then the man just meekly does whatever. He's scared to death to go against his wife. And 90% of the time in the world, you either have the bully on one hand, or you have kind of a appearance that everything's in order, but the only reason it's order is because the man jumps whenever she says jump. That's not a man. You know, the little thing, if mama's not happy, ain't nobody happy. So the goal is making mama happy. That's no way to live. That's not the way God intends for us to live. You know, so many divorces in the world are because he's just not making me happy anymore. He just doesn't make me happy. I've told people, you know, it's not the husband or it's not the father's job to make people happy. That's not the role of the Father. That's not the role of God. God's role is not to force us to be happy or to make us be happy. We have to choose that. You know, that's why we say, you know, whatever circumstance we're in, whatever thing we're going through, it does not matter. The only thing we control in our lives is our attitudes. And if anybody is going to make you happy, or you're looking for anybody else to make you happy, you are going to be a failure. You're miserable. Because the only person who can do that is you. There's people sitting in prisons tonight. There's people sitting in bad situations all over the world. Don't have a thing in the world going for them, and they're happy. like I said, the role of the father is not to make everybody happy, nor is it the role of the father or the mother to make everybody happy. It's not the father's place. And whenever we are all directed that way, to where we're trying to keep the woman happy, that's what you have in the world. And what that does is make a man a little puppet, not a man at all. He's just a little slave to his wife. And I've seen it all my life. And that doesn't mean, like I said, then you shift that, so the next thing is he's just a bully. But that's not the way it is supposed to be either. The father is to make the decisions, and he's responsible for them. He's to be patient. Look at God, see how he is. A man told a message one time, Alan Miller. He preached a message about fathers one time, and I've always appreciated it. He said, "Fathers, you are called to be fathers. You're not called to be a friend in the sense of a buddy. You're not your child's buddy. You're their father." You know, we have the idea of marriage, you know, that, well, we're just best friends and everything's just wonderful. Well, it is until somebody don't get their way. But even as a husband, we're called to be a man and a father and a husband, not just a buddy. That isn't very fun sometimes. Gets pretty lonely sometimes, but that's what a father is. I remember that message that you are not your child's buddy. You're their father and you're their mother. And you know, that's kind of, you know, it's all right to get along, but there's still an element of a father and a child. I really struggled with this one time. My dad was never my buddy. He was never my buddy. He would take us places sometimes, or he would do things I wanted to do sometimes, but I went along with him quite a bit, but I was not his buddy. I remember it kind of came. I thought he was pretty hard on me sometimes. I hauled hay, started hauling hay whenever I was young, 8 years old, driving, hauling, rolling, bales, whatever. By the time I was 12, we bought a truck, and I was in charge of the hay crew, the truck. And Dad hired a bunch of his buddies. He always had young men around that were always a little older than I was. They were always a little better than I was. They always played basketball and sports, and he was all into that and with them and whatever. He was their buddy. But he would hire these guys that were 16, 17, 18 years old, high school boys. And here I was, 12 years old. And if all the hay didn't get in just right, or if there was a problem, you know who got chewed out? It wasn't his buddies. I don't want to belittle him at all, but sometimes those chewings out were pretty severe. A lot more severe than, you know, we wouldn't dare use a cuss word whenever we're talking to our children. You know, sometimes we think our dads are a little rough on us and a little mean to us, you know, because they scold us sometime. They tell us what's wrong or what time it is. We get off. Tell you what, if you grew up under an old Missouri farmer sometime and got a chewing, it wasn't very pretty. You knew. He wasn't my buddy. He was my father. Like I said, I remember whenever I was 13 years old one time, and I was coming in from doing chores or doing something, and come in and tell Dad, and he was in there just yucking it up with his buddies. They were my age or a little older, you know. They were just, he just didn't seem to have any time for me. And that just really was hard on me. I got real upset, and it was just like so frustrated. I didn't play baseball in the summertime because I wanted to be with my dad. And it wasn't because he was just my buddy. I respected him and I honored him. And I just wanted to be around him. And here I thought I had a need, and I was just pretty well brushed aside. And it really, really, it hurt. Looking back, you know, he taught me how to be a man. All of his buddies, you know, a lot of those even, I mean, they didn't really have dads, and so he was just stepping in and taking their place. And I just felt left out. But he was reaching out and helping other people that their dads really didn't care at all for them. He just gave them some guidance. But I'm thankful that he was my father and not my buddy. It's difficult being a father, you know, and that was, you know, I don't know how planned that was. It's just the way it was. But if you and I are going to be fathers, you know, like I said, we got to make some decisions. We got to do some things, and sometimes it's pretty lonely. Thank God for a standby, submissive woman. You know, that's just going to jump right in there and be behind them, no matter what. Just lose herself in a bigger picture. You know, I stand before you physically as a father, haven't heard anything out of my children for 6 or 7 years, except for once trying to reach out to them, basically told don't even try again. But there's a verse that says if we won't lose, you know, if a man leaves his wife and children and lands, he'll be given 100-fold. And I just look out and the children and adults that I've been had an opportunity to be a little bit of a father to. And I haven't tried to be your buddy. You know, we're friends, and sometimes we are, get pretty close, but to be a father means that there's something higher than all of that even. And I just want to encourage you, like I said, to be fathers. You know, a lot of times we see young people and they want a promotion, or they want you know, you to make them happy, like it's their duty of the Father, but it's not. You know, it's pretty difficult sometimes that whenever people are just seeking something and they think that they're ready for something. You know, we get an example, you know, of a young boy or something, and he's ready to move up to the next level. And it's my time and I deserve it. And he's kind of disgruntled because the Father doesn't see it. You know, that's having things all twisted. The approval comes from the Father, not the other way around. How many young boys do you think that they're ready for something? And they're all upset, so they jump out and just do it on their own. You know, nothing is done right or good until it's comes from up higher. You know, we think we can really accomplish something. And you might be able to go out and do it on your own. But if you've missed, you know, I'm having trouble saying this, but if you've missed having the Father's blessing on it, or the Father saying, all right, come on up, son. It's time for you to move up a little bit. We've missed it. You know, if you just jump out and do it on your own, you're missing it. You're messing with foundation things here. You know, somebody's, well, I'm ready to be married, or I'm ready to go do this or go do that. But if you start jumping over steps to get there, you're jumping over steps. And the steps you're running up are not the steps you need to be climbing up. Be content. You know, Jesus told the story about the man that went to the wedding, and he went to the front seat, and then the guy come along and said, no, you need to sit in the back. And he went away ashamed. Wait till they call you up, and then you're put up there with honor. And it's not just about that honor. It's about just being, you know, young men, sometimes it's hard just being told to wait. Just be patient. Learn those lessons. And I know, fathers, you want to promote your children, but sometimes they just need to learn some things. Like I said, it's just a little difficult being a father. You want to make them feel good and you want to promote them, but that's not the way to do it. We're trying to make men out of people, not just gather up a bunch of buddies. Like I said, whenever I'm talking about being the father, being the head, I'm talking about responsibility, not authority. Submission doesn't come because I'm stronger. Submission comes because someone yields and gives up, just like Jesus did to the Father. He was a picture of the family. Anyway. May the Lord add his blessings. Encourage us to be like our Father, which is in heaven. It's not always fun. not always the easy way. Just be strong. You don't have anything you'd like to share? I forgot one time, it's been a while, but I just remember one time my children, we'd go to a fair or something fun. They'd always go laughing. This is fun. And they would always go laughing. And we came home crying. And then we'd go do something that was difficult. Go pick up rocks or take them out and pick raspberries or blackberries along the road. And they'd go grumbling and crying and come home laughing. You know, we try to entertain our children. We try to make them have a good time, and it never works out. But then you just do what you're supposed to do with them, and it might be a little difficult at first, but they generally come home with a smile and happy and content. We're not the entertainment director of our family. We're the fathers. Anyway.
That's being hard times for contentment kind of reminds me. Yesterday we drove up to a guy from Kansas, an old man, and he was around the boat with all his family. As we pulled up, I was like, look at that man. I said, he's happy.
Yeah.
He just has a good feel to it. And I got out, shook his hand, and started talking to him. He had a hard time walking because he was so old. And we went back to the barn that he wanted me to fix. We started talking. He was calling me Olin. I said, I'm not old, I'm a woman. He's like, oh, I thought you were old. I said, no, Olin passed away last year. And he's like, oh, that's too bad. I was like, yeah, he's 42. Heart aneurysm. Yeah. And he said, well, my son did. He passed away at 41. Same thing.
Huh.
And then he said, I've had the same heart problem my whole life, and he said, I shouldn't be around. And he said, I also have had cancer forever, and he said, I should have been dead a long time ago. He said, I've been taking all my hair, but he was just really pleasant and happy, and it was just pretty neat that all the troubles he went through, that just reminded me of that.
Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, God bless you all. Depart in peace. God be with you. Till we meet again.